My name is Geraldine and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Geraldine.
Hi. And I've been abstinent now probably for about over 4 years. And I haven't got any photos to share. I've probably released about 3.5 stone since I've been working the programme. Before I came to OA, my life consisted of one meal followed by another, followed by another, followed by another. And I was not... I was very much conscious of the fact that I was overweight, but I kind of went for the fix, the quick fixes, in order to address the issues. And I was in another fellowship, and someone who came to this, came to OA, suggested that I go to a meeting. So I went off to this meeting, and I remember the day very well. And it was quite a small meeting, and I decided that everybody else in the room was a compulsive overeater, but I wasn't, so I left. And I came back when I got very, very sick. And I got really sick around about a couple of years later. In my job, I was working really hard, doing the workaholic bit, and I got ill. And when I got ill, I was off work for a while, and something was obviously working, because I went to see a nutritionist, and I remember this appointment very clearly. It was a 2-hour appointment, and she said, I want you to write down every single thing you eat, and over the week, and bring the sheet in to me, and we're going to sit down and discuss it. I thought, fine, no problem. And she said to me, I think you might have a problem with sugar, because you seem to be eating quite a lot of it at every meal. And then I remembered OA, and I came back to the meetings and started to really work on work the programme. And when I first came in, I was very, very fortunate. I had someone, a couple of people to help me, and I was doing quite well. And I think I got to about step 6 with my first sponsor, and then she decided that she couldn't sponsor me for whatever reason. And I relapsed, and my relapse was so bad, I wasn't even aware of how bad my relapse was. I still thought I was okay. I kept going to meetings. And heard about this meeting, at that my old meeting, and I came here, and I got myself a sponsor, and then I really started to work this program really thoroughly, and did really well, and I started sponsoring people, and it was going quite well in the program, and then that sponsor left, but this time I decided, okay, this sponsor leaves, I need to get myself a sponsor straight away. And that's what I did. And I've worked with various sponsors in the course of the programme, and each sponsor's given me different things at different times. But what I've come to realise is that this is my programme, and I'm responsible for it, and it's down to me to work my programme. It's not my sponsor's responsibility. My sponsor is just another tool in the box, and I've got to make good use of that and make sure that, you know, I'm really working this program to the best of my ability, and that's what I try to do. My journey hasn't always been, it's been an interesting one, and I never thought that just by coming to OA, so many different aspects of my life would be revealed to me, including not just about working the steps, working the program, but other aspects like my finances. I didn't realise there was such a link between my finances and my eating, being quite similar, and which has also led me now to look at another fellowship with regards to that side of things as well. But I just thought it was important for me to mention that. So we're in February, and The step for this month is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. When I came into fellowship, I was convinced, okay, you know, I go to church, I'm a Christian. I was convinced I didn't need to connect to the spiritual side of this program because I thought I had it all sorted. I knew what I was doing. But I didn't. And I think that I had to go back and really ask myself, am I really believing that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity? Because I was so crazy. I was really crazy. And I think that I developed my concept of a higher power based on a very kind of punitive model of God. And I remember speaking to someone when I came into fellowship. Well, my higher power is this model, and the fellowship is saying to me that a loving higher power as well. It talks about a loving higher power. And for me, I didn't quite know what that was. And I remember speaking to a fellow, and she said to me, okay, may I suggest that you go away and write about what your idea of a loving higher power is. And so I did, and I remember doing that exercise quite clearly, and things started to shift, and I began to believe that, you know, my higher power could restore me to sanity, and did. And so many wonderful things have happened as a result of that. But it was about me beginning to believe that I could let go and let my higher power take over because I'm not in charge. And as I've gone through the program over the years, I've recognised that when things are stressful, when they aren't going really well, where's my higher power in all of this? What am I doing to hand it over and let my higher power take over? I can do the footwork, but the results of my footwork is up to my higher power. And that's the kind of thing that I'm learning. I've learned, and I'm continuing to learn constantly. As a result of working this program and others, I have also gone back to work. When I came into fellowship, I wasn't at work, and I've gone back to work. And I work in quite a very stressful environment with lots of young people. And again, I learned that I need, first of all, I need structure. I need to make sure that my three meals a day are in place. And I work the Dignity of Choice program, three meals a day, nothing in between. And I make sure I have my breakfast before I have my breakfast in the morning. I make sure I do my spiritual practice. I read that bit in the big book, page 86, page 87, on awakening. And I make sure I read that. I do a bit of meditation. I do my prayers. And then my breakfast is in place. I've got my lunch for the day. And I've got dinner sorted for when I get back home. You know, that's the kind of structure I need to have. And that I've been given the gift of this program that helps me to really have those things in place. So when I'm in a stressful environment, I don't have to worry about my food because I sit in an office with four other people who are quite happy to snack right the way through. Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, I might stop for a tea break or I might stop to have some water, but I don't snack. And my food is in the fridge, thank God, and I can have it at lunchtime. And I know that I'm okay. So for me, that's really important. Also, what's important for me as well is that when it gets really stressful, I can pick up the phone and outreach while I'm at work. I'm not supposed to do this, but sometimes I run off to the loo, make a quick call, speak to someone or leave a message. Someone might get back to me. If they do, if the office is full, I nip outside, stand in the corridor, have a quick chat and go back to my desk. Because I need this, I need to be reminded. And it helps to ground me because otherwise I want to go off into self-will. And for me, that's not the way it operates because, you know, the food is always there. And if I'm not careful, I could slip back into it quite easily. And I don't want to. And I remember, you know, another sponsor saying to me, the answers and not in the food, and you don't need to go back to it. And she was absolutely right. And I know that I'm a compulsive overeater, but, you know, one day at a time, by the grace of my higher power, you know, I've managed to stay clean. And that's the most important thing for me, to stay clean, to have a really, really clear head, and to do the best that I can with what I have each day, and to remember that it's just one day at a time. I also wanted to say that, one of the things that I was asked to do when I worked on my programme was to sponsor, and I didn't want to do it. I really don't want to sponsor. So my sponsor said, well, look, sponsoring is really important because you can't keep it unless you give it away. And I thought, you can't keep it unless you give it away. Okay, right. So, and for me, sponsorship is also about helping me to stay on top of my programme, so that I can't help anyone unless I'm working my programme and I'm clean and I'm abstinent and I am sharing the message. It's so important for me, and I recognise now the real importance of that now that I sponsor, and recognise that I was someone who came into the fellowship too, wondering, saying it didn't work because everybody else was a compulsive overeater, and then wondering to myself from time to time, well, how did it work? And the thing about it, it wasn't about me asking the question, how did it work? It was about me just rolling up my sleeves and doing it, because it does work if you work it. But I had to learn that as well. I had to learn that it was about me working my steps. It was about me coming to meetings. It was about doing the writing. It was about making outreach calls. It was about doing service. And it was about doing sponsorship, all those things that has got me this far, and for which I am eternally grateful. But when I came in, I didn't know that. So for me, it's always a timely reminder to be sponsoring, and also to be outreaching as well to newcomers, because people come in the rooms just like myself and don't know anything about the programme. And, you know, I wasn't prepared. That very first meeting where I walked out, I wasn't prepared to come back to listen, because I needed to get really sick. I needed to be scraping the bottom of the barrel and being really ill for me to recognise that I need this programme a lot more than I think I do, and I need to work it. And I did, and that was my experience. So, and I think as well for me, I've also learned about a lot about myself in relation to family and relationships. My eating was very much for me an emotional pattern. I didn't want to feel anything, so my way of operating was, there's a problem, I'll eat. I'm happy, I'll eat. I'm unhappy, you know, I'll eat. I've got money in the bank, I'll eat. I haven't got any money in the bank, I'll eat. You know, it was all that kind of pattern that I had. And then recognising that, as I said before, the food wasn't the answer, and there are other things that I can do that doesn't require me to eat. And that was my kind of like my biggest learning curve. And one of the things that I had to do was to sit with how I felt. And I felt sometimes it was really difficult to sit with feelings. And another thing that I remember very clearly, I remember the first day that I got abstinent, the first time round, and eating my lunch, and suddenly this feeling came up, and I thought, well, I've eaten, I'm not hungry, and it was very much an emotional kind of almost a juggernaut going through my stomach. And I remember picking up the phone thinking, what am I going to do, and I was so scared, and it was more out of fear than anything else, that I picked up the phone to speak to another fellow. And with all the anxieties running through my head about what she's going to think about me bringing her in the middle of the afternoon to say I've eaten my dinner and I'm feeling really emotional. But she was really great. She was happy to listen to me and to be able to share some of her experience, strength and hope with me. And I calmed down. I actually calmed down. and I didn't need to go back to the food. You know, and that was a really, it was a really turn, a real turning point for me, realising that I'm going to have to get used to feeling what I feel. Get used to really feeling what I feel, because my feelings are just that, they're feelings, they're not facts. And I operated on the basis that my feelings were facts, and because they were facts and I needed to eat, that was what was going on in my head, and it's not the case. So I started looking at other ways of doing things, go to meetings, you know, do some writing, outreach, go and do service. I think for me, one of the main things that really helped me through my most difficult periods was the meetings. And just quickly to say that I came to OA, and in 2008 I went away on holiday with my husband, and while I was there, he died. He had a massive heart attack and he died while we were away. And by that time I was in two fellowships. I was in another one and this one. And all I can say, it was through the fact that I was a member of both those fellowships that I was able to cope and to get through a very difficult time while I was away. And when I came back, I had, you know, it was like I was just resting. These meetings were like a real support for me to rest with my grief and my loss, and not go back to my compulsive eating and my compulsive eating behaviours, which was really good. And one of the things that I did when I came back is that I went to lots and lots of meetings, because I could be myself, I could cry, I could get in touch with my emotions, and I wasn't going to be judged for who, you know, who I was at the time. And that was a real supportive arm for my healing, for my grief, which, you know, I will be eternally grateful for this program and the other one that I'm in as well. So, and just to say, you know, I don't think I work a perfect program, but I remember that it's just a program that operates for me, works for me one day at a time. And, you know, I have so much gratitude for. And every night I do a step 10, and part of my step 10 is to write. I find it really hard to begin with, but I'm doing it now, to write at least 10 things that I'm grateful for every day. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Thank you so much, Geraldine, for sharing your story of recovery with us this morning. Would you like to suggest a topic for our sharing time?
Gratitude.
Now is the time when we each can share.